Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 13, The Behavior of a Perfect Person, Text Number 34. Shoka Moha Bhaya Krodha Raga Klaibhya Shramadayaha Yanmula Sur Nrinam Jayat Spriham Pranar Tayor Buddha Shloka Lamentation Moha Illusion Baya Fear Krodha Anger Raga Attachment Klaibhya Poverty Shrama, unnecessary labor. Adaya, and so on. Yat mula, the original cause of all these. Syu, become. Rinam, of human beings. Jayat, should give up. Spriham, the desire. Prana, for bodily strength or prestige. Ardayo, and accumulating money. Buddha, an intelligent person. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Those in human society who are intelligent should give up the original cause of lamentation, illusion, fear, anger, attachment, poverty, and unnecessary labor. The original cause of all these is the desire for unnecessary prestige and money. Purport. Here is the difference between Vedic civilization and the modern demoniac civilization. Vedic civilization concerned itself with how to achieve self-realization, and for this purpose one was recommended to have a small income, maintain body and soul together. The society was divided into brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, and shudras, and the members of this society would limit their endeavors to meeting their minimum demands. The brahmanas in particular would have no material desires. Because the kshatriyas had to rule the people, it was necessary for them to have money and prestige. But the Vaishyas were satisfied with agricultural produce and milk from the cow, and if by chance there were excess, trade was allowed. The Shudras were also happy, for they would get fuel and shelter from the three higher classes. In the demoniac civilization of the present day, however, there is no question of Brahmanas or Kshatriyas. There are only so-called workers and a flourishing mercantile class who have no goal in life. According to Vedic civilization, the ultimate perfection of life is to take sannyas. But at the present moment, people do not know why sannyas is accepted. Because of misunderstanding, they think that one accepts sannyas to escape social responsibilities. But one does not accept sannyas to escape from responsibility to society. Generally, one accepts sannyas at the fourth stage of spiritual life. One begins as a brahmachari, then becomes a grihastha, a vanaprastha, and finally a sannyasi to take advantage of the duration of one's life by engaging oneself fully in self-realization. Sannyas does not mean begging from door to door to accumulate money for sense gratification. However, because in Kali Yuga people are more or less prone to sense gratification, immature sannyas is not recommended. Srila Rupa Goswami writes in his Nectar of Instruction, Atyahara Priyasas Cha Prajalpo Niyamagraha Jana Sangas Shaloyam Cha Shadvir Bhaktir Vinashiti. One's devotional service is spoiled when he becomes too entangled in the following six activities. 1. Eating more than necessary or collecting more funds than necessary. 2. Over-endeavoring for mundane things that are very difficult to obtain. 3. Talking unnecessarily about mundane subject matters. 4. Practicing the scriptural rules and regulations only for the sake of following them and not for the sake of spiritual advancement. Rejecting the rules and regulations of the scriptures and working independently or whimsically. 5. Associating with worldly-minded persons who are not interested in Krishna consciousness. And 6. Being greedy for mundane achievements. A sannyasi should have an institution meant to preach Krishna consciousness. He need not accumulate money for himself. We recommend that as soon as money accumulates in our Krishna consciousness movement, 50% of it should be invested in printing books and 50% for expenditures, especially in establishing centers all over the world. Managers of the Krishna consciousness movement should be extremely cautious in regard to this point. Otherwise, money will be the cause of lamentation, illusion, fear, anger, material attachment, material poverty, and unnecessary hard work. When I was alone in Vrindavan, I never attempted to construct mats or temples. Rather, I was fully satisfied with the small amount of money I could gather by selling back to Godhead, and thus I would provide for myself and also print the literature. When I went to foreign countries, I lived among, according to the same principle, but when Europeans and Americans began to give money profusely, I started temples and deity worship. The same principle should still be followed. Whatever money is collected should be spent for Krishna and not a farthing for sense gratification. This is the Bhagavad principle. Shoka moha bhaya krodha raga klaibhya shamadayaha yanmula surnrinam jayat spriham pranartayor buddhaha. Those in human society who are intelligent should give up the original cause of lamentation, illusion, fear, anger, attachment, poverty, and unnecessary labor. The original cause of all these is the desire for unnecessary prestige and money. Here it mentions that originally in the Veda culture, people lived simply. That the aim of life was not to collect as many toys as possible and show them off to your friends. That now I have the most toys and therefore I've won the race. The aim of civilization was to become detached from material existence and be able to concentrate the mind upon Krishna. For that, there was the varna and ashram system. Varna specifically to minimize the endeavor for collecting material goods, and sannyas and other types of parts of the varnashram, whether it be brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, was meant to minimize the demands for sense gratification. In other words, the more one is advanced in the varnashram system, the more one could meditate on Vishnu without distraction from sense gratification. That's the whole idea. Or as Krishna says, in the Bhagavad Gita, of course, because this is all in the Bhagavad Gita, that first avayam sattva samshudir jnana yoga vyavyastiti dhanam dhammas cha jagnas cha svarayatapa arjavam. That avayam, fearlessness, cultivation of spiritual knowledge, purity, austerity, charity, sense of mind and control, sacrifice, and Vedic study. These are the duties of the four ashrams. Beginning with brahmachari life. Brahmachari life was meant for self-study. Krishna, Balaram, and his friends, such as Sudama. They studied the Gurukul with Sandipani Muni. They didn't play video games. There was no co-education. There was no Brahmacharini ashram and Sandipani Muni's ashram. They didn't have a Sunday feast even. They studied the 64 arts, well, accordingly, because Krishna was a Kshatriya. He also studied the 64 arts, and Balaram also. And they did menial service for their guru. Brahmachari Guru Kule Vasandanta Guru Arhitam. They followed the Veda culture. They lived humbly in the ashram of their guru, served him with a great vow, being in a favorable mood towards the guru, learning humility and tolerance, austerity. They followed the culture. But although they were the sons of a big Kshatriya, still, they followed the Veda culture and lived very simply while they were in the ashram. And the aim of that was to understand Jagavai Vishnu, that one should serve Vishnu and one should serve Vishnu's representatives, that the whole life, everything that one does, should be done as a sacrifice for Vishnu. Now, as it Prabhupada mentions in this verse, Atyahara Priyasascha by Sri Rupa Goswami. Collecting too much. Ati ahara. Why do people collect too much? Because basically they're afraid they won't get enough to eat. Ahara means to eat, and ati means too much. So people are collecting more and more money because they're insecure. Just like it mentions that there's only three big companies that own practically all the agriculture in the world. Or at least in the Western world. They can decide whether everyone eats or they starve to death. And the people who own it are the same people who own many other things, like communication, education, pharmaceuticals, etc., etc. So it's all interconnected. A few people with the most, all the wealth, they control everyone by their communication, by their resources, etc., etc. And they don't like people to complain. They also don't like people to find out what they're doing, because it might be embarrassing for them. And therefore, it will never make it into the mass media, what's actually going on. What goes on, what the mass media will just tell us what they would like us to think is going on. Because then it can keep on going on the way few people think it should go on. Which may not be in the best interest of everyone else. But the Veda culture did not concentrate the economic resources, the educational resources, matter of fact, all the resources, whether it be even the human resources, like air, water, food, in the hands of a few people who were simply interested in, who have no Veda culture, practically speaking, and are only interested in dominating the rest of the world. So, for their own personal sense gratification. People have money, generally speaking, because they want to enjoy their own power, mostly. When they have unlimited amounts of money, they want to feel that they're controlling everything. They're not doing it so they can, for the benefit of human society, to elevate their consciousness towards God consciousness. Most of these people, if they say they believe in God, they believe that they are themselves God. That's the God that they believe in. And apparently, by their control of the resources, they, for the most part, as far as they can perceive, they are God. Prabhupada gives the example of, it was actually in China, when the Chinese government, communist government, captured the country. Then they called all the peasants, my dear peasants, you know, please go to your church and pray for bread. So all the peasants went to the church and they prayed for bread. Dear Lord, give us our daily bread. And then they came back, the communists came back and said, dear peasants, did your God give you your daily bread? And they said, no, dear communist friends, we didn't get any bread. So then they said, pray to us for bread. So they said, oh, dear communist friends, give us our daily bread. So then the communists called for truckloads of bread come and distribute it amongst the peasants. And then the communists asked the peasants, my dear peasants, so who's better, your God is better or we're better? And they said, oh dear communist friends, you're better because you're actually giving us our daily bread. Prabhupada said, if I would have been there, I would have asked these communists, my dear communists, where did you get the bread from? So people have become so fooled, they don't know how they're being manipulated and controlled and directed towards a certain end. Instead, they're endlessly, mindlessly following their andaya tandira pugiyamanas te pisha tandra urudamibara. They're blindly following their so-called, their leaders, who are actually misleaders, and will simply get them into difficulty. And how is that? They've invented, for instance, an economic system which they just create money out of nothing. Just like they claim everything came out of nothing, but they've proved it. They can create money out of nothing. They can simply type some numbers into a computer and suddenly billions of dollars appear out of nothing. Not exactly out of nothing. What they're doing is they're simply robbing from everyone else by their economic system. Because if I have $100 or 100 euros, and you print out of nothing, print it up or digitally create it, another 100 euros out of nothing, then in my buying power, my 100 euros has now been reduced by half. Because buying power is on demand, supply and demand. So if now two people are competing for the same product that originally cost $100, but now both of us have $100, so now the price goes up to $150. Now my $100 is only worth $50, or is worth half as much as it was before in buying power. And therefore, for instance, the American dollar, what you could buy 100 years ago with the American dollar, now you can buy around 10 cents worth of the things. In other words, that American dollar, which had a buying power of $100 100 years ago, now has a buying power of 10 cents. So where did all that go to? It went into the people who have created out of nothing all this money, printed it up. In the Weimar Republic, they printed up so much money that in order to get one loaf of bread, you'd have to take a wheelbarrow full of money. And then when you took in all the money, while they were counting it, because they couldn't take all the money at once, it was just like too much. So there was a stack of money in the wheelbarrow, and all this extra money that they'd have to take in to get the loaf of bread, and they went in with some of it. And when they came back, all the money was on the floor because it was worthless, and someone stole the wheelbarrow because that had some value. So that's modern civilization. People, there's a few Vaishyas, and everyone else is a Shudra. And the few Vaishyas control everything and therefore manipulate the Shudras into thinking that they're going to be happy by this manipulation, where they can work day and night, mother, father, children, they're all sometimes working. Maybe they even hire out the dog as a guard dog. So, and they say we're making progress. They give people a credit card so they can spend the rest of their life paying off the interest on the credit card. They never stop being debt slaves. And if you complain, then they just take away your credit card and you can't buy anything. And people are thinking they're making progress. But actually progress is self-realization, where one could become happy without simply buying the latest technological device that's supposed to keep you in contact with your friends, so-called friends who give you likes. And if they give you likes, you feel good. And if they don't give you likes, you feel bad. So that's your emotional exchange. People checking like. They don't know who you are. You don't even know who you are yourself. But if you put on something that people like, then, you know, like, then you feel good. And if they put something that you say they don't like, then you feel bad. So your whole life is just meant to either get, you know, people's thumbs up or thumbs down. It's become so superficial. But you don't know who you are. You don't know the purpose of life. Nitevidu swarthikatim hi Vishnu. One doesn't know that the purpose of life is to obtain Vishnu. Darashya ye bahi arthamanina. Simply these frivolous, practically, of course they may not be frivolous, they can be utilized in Krishna's service too. Prabhupada said we have cars, we have computers, we have so many things, dictaphones, but they're meant to be utilized in Krishna's service. Otherwise, they simply bind one to the material energy, to material existence. So from brahmachari life, one is trained up in austerity to concentrate the mind on Krishna. And if one is successful, then one can stay brahmachari and eventually take sannyas. That is, become fearless by meditating on Krishna, seeing Krishna everywhere, being pure by being in ecstasy in Krishna consciousness, and seeing everyone and everything in relation to Krishna. And if one is not so successful in the brahmachari ashram, then one may take grihastha life, where one further is trained in austerity, in sense and mind control, in charity, and offering sacrifice for Vishnu, Yajnavai Vishnu, which is the purpose. That if we do charity to the Brahmins and those in the renounced order of life, the sannyasis, etc., who are utilizing it for self-realization, then that's the best sacrifice we can do. And if we're doing that, if we're actually developing our own Krishna consciousness, then we can control our senses and not produce varna sankara, unwanted population. Otherwise, if we're simply watching pornography, we're watching all kinds of movies which are semi or fully pornography, if we're reading the newspapers or the magazines or attending these universities where only the materialistic concept of life is explained and the whole aim of life is to accumulate money for sense gratification, then it's going to be impossible to avoid illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication. These follow one after another. Just like it mentions, then the different ages, when Satyuga, when people could meditate in trance upon Lord Vishnu, upon Krishna, Treta Yuga began when people began to eat a little bit more than necessary. And therefore, in order to purify themselves, they had to do sacrifice. So the next Treta Yuga was sacrifice. They had to take some of their wealth they were going to use for eating too much and throw it into the fire sacrifice for Vishnu. And when people, at the end of Treta Yuga, when people became even more greedy than they were, then sacrifice wasn't sufficient because they didn't have confidence that Vishnu would appear from the sacrifice. And therefore, when they started to want to accumulate wealth for more sense gratification, especially illicit sex and eating too much, etc., which follow, then deity worship was introduced, where people could actually see the deity and utilize their resources, their time at least, in service of the deity, come to the temple and see the deity, hear the kirtan, etc., etc. And then they become inspired to do sacrifice for the deity. And by sacrificing their energies for the deity, they'd be able to concentrate their minds upon Krishna and become Krishna conscious. And in Kali Yuga, people don't go to the temple, or if they go to the temple, there's nothing in the temple. Or there's some picture of the temple where people are being tortured to inspire them. And therefore, temple worship has become less important. So Harinam Sankirtan was introduced so that people could chant the holy names, get association with Krishna directly in the sound of the holy name, Krishna and his spiritual energies, Srimati Radharani. They can get association, and therefore they become inspired to associate with the devotees and understand Krishna consciousness, and therefore take up the other processes, such as deity worship, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, chanting Hare Krishna seriously, serving the devotees and making the atmosphere spiritual.
So in Kali Yuga,
everything is included in the holy name. That is, by chanting the holy name, one becomes inspired for deity worship and other processes,
self-realization.
Therefore, one will be willing to sacrifice for Vishnu, for Krishna. And by such sacrifice, one will become inspired to meditate entranced upon the Supreme Lord. So the same thing is there in every age, the same path of perfection. But in Kali Yuga, because people have become misguided, unlucky, always disturbed, they're short-lived, therefore the chanting of the holy name is introduced. But the success of chanting for ourselves and personally, and others personally, will be seen by how much we become inspired for the other processes, such as deity worship, and studying the scriptures, and serving the devotees, and spiritualizing the atmosphere, both in the temple and outside. That's called Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement. So, if we actually chant seriously, then we'll be interested in deity worship, sacrifice, and meditation upon Krishna, becoming actually conscious of Krishna. And then our lives will become successful. Otherwise, Kali Yuga, we see it's everywhere. We've taken it for granted. We don't understand how deeply ingrained in our own consciousness is the whole consciousness, the psyche of Kali Yuga, where we're made to believe that the state is going to save us, that we're actually from Slovenia or America or Russia or wherever we imagine ourselves to come from. Like in America, the flag, people always, from the beginning of our lives in America, we had to salute the flag and pledge allegiance to the flag. To a flag, we had to pledge allegiance. And the same thing they did in Nazi Germany. Same thing they did in Stalinist Russia. The same thing they're doing now. Pledge your allegiance. Maybe how you do it. In America, they used to put their arm out, just like they did in Nazi Germany before Nazi Germany started. Someone started that whole thing. And they did that in Stalin's Russia also. And then, because it became unpopular, they put your hand on your heart, pledging your allegiance to the flag, to the United States of America. God became replaced by a flag, and the United States became as good as God. Supposedly under God. And who's God? In God we trust. The American dollar says, in God we trust. In other words, trust in the American dollar. So the dollar became God, and the people who printed up the dollar became better than God, because they were creating God. So this has been ingrained. Matter of fact, sometimes in the movies, if you have the misfortune of watching American movies, you'll see that in many of the action movies, in every scene that there's some action, the American flag is somehow there, waving in the background or put on a board or on the army's shoulder. The American flag is everywhere to remind people, worship the flag. So this is, it's called brainwashing, indoctrination. Constantly people are subliminally becoming indoctrinated into believing that the ultimate purpose of life is to worship your country, worship money, which can give you sense gratification, worship the products of sense gratification. And people become absorbed in that. And therefore it's difficult for them to understand they're not their body, and there could be a God who's actually a person. There could be a purpose of life beyond sense gratification, that we shouldn't eat as much as we can, sleep as much as we can, have as much sex life as we can, and if we can't defend ourselves, and play video games and kill things virtually, if you can't do it really, in reality. Our movement is meant to wake people up from this brainwashing, this illusion that people have been put into, this dream that they've been put into, was probably what I said in one lecture. This whole civilization, which is meant to put people in darkness, is soon to become an end. And then he explained something about how he thought at that time it would come to an end. But that was the vision of our acharyas. This is not the age of illumination. As Prabhupada said, this movement is meant to save people in the darkest hours of his existence. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You were mentioning Vedic Vanashrama system and Gurukula, the role of the Gurukula, and the example of Sandipani Muni's ashram. There were different Gurukulas for Kshatriyas and Brahmanas separate, or the same Guru taught any children?
According to what we've read, I mean, generally the Kshatriyas and the Brahmins went to Gurukul, and they went together. They didn't, but they had sometimes separate training.
So 64 hours were taught for the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas?
Not necessarily, I don't know that, but Krishna wasn't a Brahmin, but he got the 64 hours. So did Balaram, he was a Kshatriya. Krishna was known as also a Kshatriya, they were Kshatriyas. But they learn the obviously they learn the 64 arts also. But Sudama also was in the same school as Krishna. Krishna was a Kshatriya, Sudama was a Brahmin. So they both attended the same Sannipani Muni's ashram.
And Elisha's were not trained?
No. They were trained by their father how to protect the cows and how to do agriculture. There was no need for anything else.
But what about these qualities? Values, like community, respect, that this is most trained
dramatically? Of course, if you're a devotee, then automatically you get the good qualities. But the qualities of sama, dhamma, tapaso, cham, shan, those were for the Brahmins who qualified, who could be trained like that. And for the others, Surya Tedra Jiti Daksha Yude Chapi Palayanam. These are action qualities. And also quality. They're qualities. But for the Vaishyas, there was Krishi Guraksha Vanijam. They learned how to till the land and how to do trade. And for the Shudras, it was service others. That's how they were trained. That's all they needed.
How different that, for example, the Vaishyas didn't.
Well, that was the job of the Kshatriyas. Just like even in modern times, there was one Kshatriya, well, not Kshatriya, there was one ruler in Romania, and what he'd do is that he'd have his agents go around and they'd ask for some, you know, they'd buy things because everything was measured, you know, grains or whatever, and then they get it, you know, it was kilo, whatever it was at that time, of rice. And then they take it and measure it and see if it was actually a kilo of rice. And if it wasn't a kilo of rice, if the merchant was cheating, then they take the merchant and they take a pole and they, from the anus up to his throat, they'd stick him into the pole. So they didn't get very much cheating going on. Few people on the pole and everyone became very honest. It's like in Prabhupada mentions in the Arab countries, then if someone drops something on the street, something even valuable, a wallet, no one would pick it up. Because if they picked it up and it wasn't there and they got caught, then they take them and they cut their hands off. And just a few people, Prabhupada says, they cut your hands off. A few people, thieves, they get their hands cut off, and everyone else becomes honest.
So by fear.
What's that?
By fear.
Yeah, sure. I guess I'd be afraid too. Unless you don't care about your having any hands. There is an incident where some British people, foreigners actually, came to one of these countries, which I won't mention. And They accuse the servants in the hotel of stealing something. And so the government arrested the servants, cut their hands off. Later it was found out that actually the servants were innocent and that the valuables that they thought were stolen were actually still there with them. So they took these foreigners and cut their hands off. They didn't kid around. In other words, and therefore you get people cautious, honest people. You don't have to go through 20 years or 10 years or 5 years, whatever it is, of fighting in the courts. People tended to hear less complaints. And if there were complaints, people checked it out carefully first. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.